Welcome back to another episode of On Life and Being Human. I'm your host, Catherine Colleen, and this is the podcast where we help you create a better life through complete connection to yourself, to others, and the world around you. Today we're going to be talking about problem employees. We're going to go stage by stage when there's somebody causing trouble in your work life, in your organization. We're going to talk about how to handle it based on an understanding of the stages. Before we get into that, a quick shout out to new listeners in Nairobi, Kenya. Very cool. Thank you for this connection. We're so excited to have you on board. If you have thoughts, questions, ideas, just scroll down to the show notes and follow the link there and let me know how I can help. So let's talk about problem employees at work, people causing trouble at work. There are all kinds of problem employees. Some are just a bad fit for the job, and others cause ripples of disaster throughout the organization. Problem employees are responsible for everything from lack of productivity and time wasting to more serious things like embezzlement, bad headlines, and legal trouble. Yikes. So this is, if you have an issue with someone in your organization, you really can't let it go and just ignore it. You know, you always wish you could go back in time and catch it before you hired them, or at least recognize it when it was all starting to go wrong and put a fast end to it. And understanding your understanding of the stages and bringing that into your hiring and your management and your leadership practices is going to help you do that a bit better. So let's get into it. There are three stages where you're going to find problem employees. Now, it's not that everybody in these stages are going to be a problem. It's just that if they are a problem, it's usually because they're in one of these stages. Make sense? And those are the same stages where you find your other dangerous personality, stages 3, 5, and 7. Needs, ideology, and questioning everything. But just like with dangerous personalities, if somebody gets stuck in one of these three more difficult stages where negative emotions abound, you might get criminal behavior, or you might just get difficult behavior. You might just get problems that are not necessarily criminal. And now, let me say this again. Being in one of these stages doesn't mean you're going to cause a problem. It doesn't mean you're going to be difficult or have issues at work or become a problem employee. You might be, for example, in stage 3, I am my needs, because you're sick, because you have a medical issue you're dealing with, because you have a financial issue you're dealing with. You may manage to not let it affect the job at all. But sometimes, in some cases, you're going to end up with a problem employee in this stage. So let's talk about that. So in stage 3, I am my needs. In stage 3, they're focused on their own needs and not the needs of the company or the customers. So let's say, for example, if their chief need is a job, this can actually drive them to greatness, given the right mentorship, given the right management. If the need is work, you can provide that, and things could be great. But you want to be wary of anyone who has been in stage 3 for a long time. Because, and we've talked about this before, the longer you spend in one stage, the more amplified that stage's characteristics become. So spending too long in stage 3 turns needs into desperation. And desperate people do desperate things. Espionage, embezzlement, ethics violations, harassment, and a whole host of other problems. stem from employees stuck in stage 3 for too long without sufficient time in stage 4, which is where you would develop things like empathy, guilt, and shame, which would normally stop you from doing things like embezzlement and espionage and harassment and ethics violations and things like this. So if you've been stuck in stage 3 for too long, that desperation starts to come out, and now that employee is at risk of doing something they will later regret. Stage 5, which is I am my ideology. This is the perfect stage for employees in a political organization or in an otherwise ideologically based organization. So, you know, you could quite often want to hire people in who are naturally spending a lot of time in stage 5. It could be exactly who you want. However, for the rest of us, these employees in extreme cases, right? This isn't everybody, but they can be a nuisance. Again, spending too much time in any stage leads to amplified effects. So what was once just a set of closely held beliefs about the world and how to operate becomes bullying in the meeting room, time-wasting hallway conversations, telling everyone what to do, and that's going to get you ineffective teams that can't stand to be in the same room with this employee. So people stuck in stage 5, identifying too closely with their ideology for too long, and remember, ideology could be political, religious, social, moral, it could be lots of things. But when you get stuck in this stage, you tend to walk around kind of angry, kind of offended at anything that seems to go against it, against what you currently believe. And you start throwing it in everybody's face. And the longer you've been stuck in stage 5, the uglier it gets. You will be nasty to people who may feel differently. And this can really become annoying, right? So nobody wants to be around that guy. You know who I'm talking about. Everybody knows that employee that comes in talking politics starting at 8 a.m. Or that toes the company line, or what they think is the company line, to the point of a complete lack of innovation. Or is just throwing policy, procedure, beliefs, rules, ideologies at everybody up and down the hallway instead of doing their work because they just so much need validation for that ideology that they're holding on to. So ultimately it becomes like a bullying. Not in the I'm going to beat you up sense, but I'm going to beat you over the head with my ideology, with my beliefs about how I think things ought to work. And so nobody wants to work with this person. And worse than that, that person's not getting anything done themselves either. So that's a problem. Then we have stage 7. Questioning everything. Now remember, the first time that you go through stage 7, it's the dark night of the soul. There can be depression, existentialism. And the second time around, it's a little easier. The third time around, it's a little easier. And eventually, it can be fun, and it can spark a lot of innovation. So stage 7's not all bad either. In fact, this is exactly where you want your most innovative teams. But this stage is counterproductive for most other policy-driven areas of the company. So again, spending too long in any one stage amplifies its characteristics. So here, spending too much time in stage 7 turns innovation into indecision and eventually into existentialism. And that's going to pull everyone down in the process. See, indecision and bad mood spread like wildfire through any organization. That's going to diminish productivity. It's going to throw off everyone's mojo. So it'll start out looking like, you know, hey, let's find a better way. And everybody's like, yeah, cool, innovation, let's do it. And it's innovative for a while. But then if you stay there too long, it gets stuck into kind of indecision because you're questioning everything. You're even questioning what you just came up with as an innovation, and you're questioning yourself to the point that you're not getting anything done. That's frustrating. And that's when the existentialism kicks in. Oh, why bother? And then everybody's just depressed. It's not great. So these are the biggest three types of problem employees. And notice the pattern here. In stage three, you have the largest risk. Stage three employees, this is the largest risk because you're risking the really big problematic stuff, legal stuff, bad headlines, embezzlement, espionage, theft. I mean, all kinds of really difficult things, harassment in the workplace, because they have unmet needs and they're desperate to meet those needs, whatever they may be. But then in stage five, it's an issue, it's a social issue that nobody wants to work with this person and they're not productive, right? This is not a legal issue necessarily. The risk, the ramifications are not quite as bad. And then stage seven, it's an attitude problem, right? So even less risk. But you still want to nip all of this in the bud. You still want to try to avoid all of this, right? Ideally, you want everybody optimized, right? People are coming in feeling purposeful. Their stage and their mindset is optimized for their job. They're excited about it. They're putting energy into their job. They're feeling good and validated about their job. That's what you want. So what can you do? First, don't hire the wrong stage. Hire the right stage. This sounds obvious, but do it. Pay attention to what is the best stage for this job in this organization, and hire the right stage for the job. But that's not going to prevent problems by itself, because people are evolving through the stages all the time, right? And you hired them, you know, and it was perfect in the beginning, but now they've shifted stages and now it's not great and you have a problem. You know, they might have been a happy enough stage six when you hired them, but they're enduring a divorce now or another major life event, and they've slipped into a deep stage seven. Or they've gotten pulled back to stage three. See, when life evolves your star employee into one of these three difficult stages, your best bet is to help them move to the next stage. Help them move forward. All it takes is a few questions and a little encouragement to help them temporarily take on a different stage, at least just for today. And that will do in a pinch. But be sure to help them get unstuck from these stages with a more permanent effort, using maybe, you know, some good books that you offer them, maybe some homework assignments, some mentorship, access to a mentor may be necessary too, potentially a mentor who is not part of your organization so that they feel like they can be truly honest and open. Try to find a mentor who has gone through a similar situation to what they're going through right now, whatever that may be, so that they can really understand, and try to find a mentor who that understands the stages and how to move through them successfully. If you're looking for one, you can probably find one either in me or in someone else at lastingpeace.org, where we keep a mentorship tree and we keep track of who is studying under who and progressing and who's ready to take new students. And think about even a program for the entirety of your workforce. And we've talked about this before. We've talked about moving yourself and others to another stage at work. I think it was episode 143. And it comes down to maybe something as simple as a book club. And if you did it with all online resources, it may not even cost anything. You just need someone in your human resources department to orchestrate it. But something as simple as kind of a book club and maybe access to some mentorship, have them do the work, have them, you know, do the tasks, work their way through the stages, within a matter of months, you could have a very solid, happy workforce, regardless of what's going on in their personal lives or at the advantage of what's going on in their personal lives. It goes both ways. So there's sure to be some questions about this. I'm sure you'll have some specific situations. Individuals are individuals, so everybody's different. No two problem employees are the same. We've tried to kind of categorize people here a little bit to give you an idea. But if you've got a specific situation you want some ideas with, just follow the link in the show notes and let me know what you're dealing with. And you will hear directly back from me. Maybe I can come up with some ideas to help. Thanks for joining me this time. We'll see you next time. And as always, I'm wishing you, Purna Asati, complete connection.